Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, dude.
Man, good evening to you, sir. Yeah. How you doing tonight?
You know, I'm doing well. Still kind of adjusting a little bit to the new showtime here, recording live at, 7:30 Central?
7:30 Central Standard Time.
Yeah.
I think
technically Central Daylight Time now. We had a listener correct us on that.
Really?
Because I think it's savings time during the summer, and then in the winter, that's how time is actually supposed to be. Although it feels like that's not right.
Is that why my laptop keeps recorrecting the thing? Because maybe I've got us on the wrong time thing.
I think it might have something to do with that. Yeah.
I gotta get on that.
Anyway, central time. Yeah. Right. Fair enough. I'm not used to the 7:30 time slot though yet. But it's been good. So far it's been good.
It's an adjustment.
A lot of new folks have been able to tune in just to kinda, you know, because we're, you know, not during the work hours for a lot of people and that type of thing. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about it. I'm feeling good. It is, you know, I gotta kinda build my energy up. I'm typically more of a morning person and
yeah.
Gosh, man, lately with the new kid we've been struggling to get the sleep in when we can, you know what I mean?
How many hours did you get last night?
I think, what did I say, 3 or 4, somewhere in there.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
It was a rough night. it was a rough night. But you know what? Hey, I'm here. You know, we were just talking about this Moroccan tea that my brother brought for us that we're enjoying in our Country Squire Radio mugs.
Yep.
Also, I am kicking back here a little self-made concoction that I want to describe on the show. I'm drinking, it's bourbon, a splash of vermouth, the kind of the sweet vermouth,
yeah.
And a dash of bitters,
but
with a couple apple wedges.
Yeah, you've got apple wedges in it, and that's interesting. I've never heard of apple. Now I'm not a cocktail connoisseur by any stretch of imagination, but I've never seen apple put into a mixed drink before, certainly with bourbon. But I bet that's delicious.
Four Roses bourbon, and I love it. Actually, I feel like I invented this. I came up with it. I was just kind of looking around our cabinet, and I kind of put it all together the other day.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is really good. But I want to pitch it out there. Do y'all know what that is? Because if it is something, I want to know what it is so I can order at the bar. And if not, I'm naming this. It's probably just like a Manhattan with apples. I have no earthly idea.
That's probably right. Hey, speaking of drinks, it's interesting. I just got a text message from our friend Charlie B., who we know very well.
Yeah,
Charlie,
absolutely.
good friend of the show.
Does a lot of work for Podesterra behind the scenes, actually.
That's right. Yep. That's right. But Charlie B. actually went to a special beer event tonight. Natchez, Mississippi is a beautiful town on the Mississippi River. It's actually one of the most historic towns west of the Mississippi. When it was, back in its heyday in the early 1800s, there were more millionaires that lived in Natchez than anywhere else in the Western Hemisphere, because all the cotton and all the plantation, you know, kind of crops went through that port.
Sure, because you're close to the river. Yeah, yeah.
So Natchez is a really interesting city. It's got its own very unique culture. People come from all over the world to see it. But there's a new brewery that started in Natchez. Charlie went to a tasting for this place tonight, but he actually is leaving us a 6-pack of Natchez Brewing Bluff City Blonde at your front door.
What?
And so it might actually be there right now. But anyway, so thank you, Charlie B. You're probably not listening live because you're probably in your car. But, dude, that's sweet.
I mean, I feel like...
Do you want to go get it? You want me to go get it?
Yeah, I'll talk to the people while you go check
it. Okay, I'm going to go get it.
Okay, so Charlie did leave the beer.
Oh, he left the beer, yeah.
Okay, is it Twist Off or
no? It's Pry, like all good beer is. But it says Natchez Brewing Company, handcrafted Southern Blonde Ale. This is Bluff City Blonde. Isn't that awesome?
That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it, but he brought us a 6-pack.
I guess we probably do want to cool this down before we actually.
It needs a little chill on it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But man, it's exciting.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie B.
That's awesome. That is so cool. Man, also, speaking of kind of things that that you can interact and engage, not just with me, but with us as a show.
Right.
You know, we do from time to time our pipe culture series where we take different aspects of pipe culture and we explore them. And so we've got an episode coming up in the next coming weeks. And the topic is going to be on the subject of recreation. We talked about the kind of the four pillars of pipe culture. And I believe the third one is recreation. We want to basically kind of put that out there a little bit like a Rorschach blot. We want you to kind of think about recreation in terms of pipe smoking, how one plays into the other, how one might or vice versa. And really just kind of whatever your thoughts, experiences, if you got some great stories there, what ways do you use your pipe in your own personal recreation or whatever it might be. So think about that. Send in those emails, csr@podastery.com.
Yep.
And we will gather them up for when we do our show on pipe culture, our next show on pipe culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's actually, I was thinking about it. We keep on, it seems, there's more and more topics that have been building up that I really want to talk about in pipe culture.
Man, it's hard to get to them all.
Well, and that's, you know, like one of the ones that we've talked about a little bit and I was kind of reflecting on the other day is kind of the hipster thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't remember if I told you this or not, but I was at this conference. I was at TGC a couple weeks ago. I guess it was almost a month ago now.
Yeah.
And while I was there, I was walking by this booth and there was this guy who was selling this coffee. And he goes, "Oh, I see by your hat that you're a coffee connoisseur." And I kind of looked at him and I was like, well, I drink coffee, but why do you get that from my hat?
From your hat.
That irritated me a little bit.
Hold on. What hat were you wearing?
I was wearing, you know, my gray hat. It's the only hat that I wear these days.
Yeah, it's from that shop in New Orleans that makes all those good-looking hats.
Oh, yeah. And it's the only hat that I've ever found that's able to fit me accurately.
Yeah.
Because I've got such
your
a big
old
head.
Noggin, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, I was kind of thinking,
were you smoking your pipe at the time, too?
No.
Because, that could have been a giveaway, although there's some pipe smokers that don't like coffee.
But see, here's the deal. It's not that I like coffee.
Right.
But, I wasn't the coffee snob, coffee connoisseur, you know,
right.
that he thought that I was. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that.
I see from your hat that you like Cheerios or whatever.
Well, I was kind of thinking you need to see from my hat that I look good in this hat. That's
fair.
That is the only thing I'm trying to communicate in this.
Right.
And so at some point, once I want to knock out the rest of the pillars of pipe culture, and one of the topics I want to talk to eventually is kind of, you know, the hipster quote unquote movement and what that is, what positives are there. Is it okay to self-identify as a hipster? Is it okay to be a hipster but not like being, I don't know, I just I want to kind of explore that. I feel like,
and where does the pipe go into all that stuff?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean
it's a heavy aspect.
Is
it,
is it too ironic to, you know, have a hipster with a pipe and is, you know, I can't even remember the guy's name that they wear those glasses that they look like, the crazy hipster glasses, you know?
Sure, I know what you're talking about.
And, you know, and then have your ironic mustache. I mean, is all that too much?
Well, and see, that's the thing. I think it's twofold.
At what point do you try too hard?
Well, and it's twofold. One is you're trying to kind of craft an image of yourself,
right?
I think, and you know, and the other thing is you just kind of like certain things and they go together. And I think both of those kind of get lumped together.
Yeah.
And is that, maybe that's not a bad thing, but I don't know. I don't know.
We'll explore it.
We'll definitely explore it at some point. I'm sure there'll be a lot of opinions.
I've been accused of being
there.
A hipster more often recently, because I get around town and smoke my pipe, and people are like, "Oh, that's so vintage." But for some reason, I guess it's the clothes I'm wearing, or maybe my long hair.
There's a lot more of it than just the pipe for you. I know.
I don't know. There's something I've been getting accused of that a lot more.
My mom had those sunglasses.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there you go.
I don't know who was the was it Buddy Holly? Buddy Holly wore glasses that kind of look like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think that's right.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, what else?
It's all good stuff, man. Hey, all right. Well, hey, you know, today is a special episode, though. Mm-hmm. We are doing something that I feel like we've teased forever.
Yeah.
We've danced around the subject matter. We've been held accountable for not going back to this sooner.
Yeah.
And that is The Art of Blending Part 3, where we finally sit down and make Yorkist Blend a thing.
This is exciting.
This has never been done before on this show anymore.
Well, and we've talked about some stuff back and forth, and you've kind of gone in one direction then pivoted, you know, strongly in another direction. And so what's cool about what we're about to do is that we're going to discuss on air for the world. Your ideas of your a private blend for Bo York.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Now, for a little background on this, at the Country Squire for a long time, we've had a tobacco called Lancaster. Bo, being the romantic that he is, he's actually tearing his sackcloth on his shirt right now. But Bo, being the romantic that he is and a student of history and all these things, he is a York. He's literally a York, which means he's of the Yorkist identity, which means he's not very fond of Lancasters, if you're familiar with War of the Roses or any of that kind of stuff.
Well, and while I can't specifically trace my our family's history directly back to Edward, I have often kind of just associated by association that, we are York. We are the House of York. And so I have...
Long live the king.
Long live the true king.
The true king.
Yeah. Every single house, I've kind of made a dedication to myself. Every single house that I own will always have a white rose bush growing somewhere along that house.
Gosh, because you're such a nerd.
It's the symbol of the House of York.
That's fair.
And so...
I make fun of you, but I really appreciate it.
Well, and it's twofold too, because it also, not only do I really kind of get into that, I constantly, maybe providentially, end up in situations where I have to deal with Lancasters.
Right.
And what I mean is, when I was in Memphis, my minister at my church in Memphis was a Lancaster.
That's just terrible.
Yes. And so I had to sit under preaching.
You chafed under his ministry.
He was a phenomenal minister, but that's by God's grace.
Right.
He's saved by God's grace, not because he's a Lancaster.
Not because he's a Lancaster. God came
to save sinners, so thus it means he came to save Lancasters. Right.
Which makes sense. Yeah. Which makes sense.
And so
so we've gone down this path before of Bo, being the passionate Yorkist that he is,
yeah.
and then also having a little bitterness towards the fact that the Squire has a tobacco called Lancaster.
It makes it all the worse that it actually kind of tastes good.
That it's actually pretty doggone good. So Bo, is like, well, we've got to make a Yorkist blend. And so we've talked about that before. Bo's kind of gone in a few different directions on, what that shape might taste like might take. Does he want certain characteristics over others? And so what we're going to do tonight is actually just kind of toss that around on air.
We have no idea of what's going to end up when it's all said.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see kind of where this is at. And it'll be kind of an ongoing thing for us. So I'm going to ask Bo a lot of questions. If you're, kind of watching live or something, want to tweet in some feedback
and some suggestions.
Some suggestions, some questions for Bo, too, on what he might prefer in a tobacco, please do that. And we're just going to kind of kick this around and see where it goes.
Now, before we start, because this is great, I was actually thinking, I was like, all right, well, I've got all these different ideas and concepts and everything. And before we start recording, you said, I'm just going to ask you questions. So this is really great, because if you've never sat down and gotten a private blend, this is almost like kind of sitting in on that to kind of what that experience might
be like. It's kind of like peeking through the curtain when what that would look like.
Okay.
That's exactly right. So, and again, a lot of times we'll go into it. When we do this, we paint with broad brushstrokes.
Yes.
Because you're going to go into this thinking, I want something really sweet that, tastes like coconut milk or whatever, and then when you try a few iterations of this type of thing, you'll realize that, it's an ongoing thing. It's kind of like cooking and adding a little salt and then realizing it needs a little more oregano. And, you're going to try it and be like, I really like this, but I wish it had more of,
And I'm going to throw
that
this
comes out a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to throw this out here, too, for you guys as you're listening to this. I picked this up from a quote from 30 Rock of all places, and it was my mantra throughout my product development career. There is no judgment in brainstorming.
That's exactly right.
So, as you're listening,
it's just imagine the whiteboard on the wall.
Yep.
And we've got the dry erase markers,
yep,
and we're just throwing everything up that comes out.
Yep. All right.
And some of it might be thrown.
That's good. So, no judgment.
Bo, what do you, let's start here.
Okay.
Just, again, broad brushstrokes. Are you thinking more something on the aromatic side? Or are you thinking something on the heavier non-aromatic side, like maybe a Virginia, a Perique, or a English blend featuring some Latakia or Orientals, kind of broad brushstrokes? What are you thinking?
Oh man! All right, so let me kind of walk you through my process.
As
I've been kind of contemplating this from the first, when we first kind of had this conversation, like almost over a year ago at this point, I thought, I was thinking, all right, I like, what is the flavor just in life that I enjoy the most?
Yeah.
And it's honey.
It's honey.
And
right.
So I thought, I wonder if there's some way that we can kind of do this like honey blend, mm-hmm, or something like that. So I was thinking, you know, that, and then playing off of kind of flowers with the whole roses thing. And so maybe this kind of floral honey aromatic.
Okay.
Now that was way back then.
Right.
And of course, over the last past year, my tastes have adapted, evolved a little bit. And, you know, I'm not just a strong aromatic guy anymore. I actually have started to kind of dabble in some different English blends. And while they're not necessarily my go-to, I appreciate them.
Right.
And I kind of think about the fact that, you know, this is a Yorkist blend, perhaps by its name.
Should it be bitter?
Should it? Well, I was going to say, should it be extremely English?
It should, that's true. But, that's true.
But if it is, I probably wouldn't like it. So I'm thinking that I kind of want to explore with the aromatic.
Okay, with the aromatic.
I think
or,
so.
Or, you know, and there's this whole category, too, that you know, you may not be as into, which is just that kind of nice tobacco-y flavor featuring a lot of Virginias, a lot of Burleys, stuff that just is much more natural tasting that may have some natural sweetness to it, but, you know, also doesn't have a whole lot of that Latakia.
Right.
You know, you kind of have a taste like a palate like me in that, you know, you appreciate Latakia in doses. You appreciate it occasionally, but it's not your go-to.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where I was kind of ashamed of that for a while, that I just not, you know, a Dunhill 965 smoker all the time. You know, I just don't like that heavy punch of Latakia all the time. But, man, I kind of live in that Virginia Burley world. That's kind of where I live. So that might give us a little footing there.
Let me throw this out there too, because the other thing I thought about and was, because you constantly make the joke about, oh, maybe it should taste like revenge. And I was thinking of if I was to kind of like, all right, what if I wanted to kind of go counter specifically to Lancaster.
Okay.
And so, you know, the idea,
which is a caramel sweet blend. And Lancaster's a caramel sweet blend.
Yeah, and as the name would definitely imply.
Right.
And so, well, York, what do you think about in kind of that candy world? You think of mint chocolate. And so I thought,
oh, like the peppermint patty.
Right. So and that was something I think I've had, you know, typically that's a blend. There's different mint chocolate blends. They're very rare, and typically they only come out at Christmas.
Right. And we actually featured one as a blend semi recently at the Squire from McClelland. We had one that was up. I don't know if you got a chance to try that or not.
I think I did.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking,
and it's pretty good.
I was thinking, like, if the, you know, like I can see if this is done in a way that's not Christmas.
Right.
Then that might be a good place to start.
But you don't want it to taste like a pine needle.
No. Exactly. I don't want to, you know, I really don't want it to be a seasonal thing.
Yeah.
I want it to be something that I can kind of go to and really get a lot of pleasure out of.
Yeah.
And if we go that route, then you're thinking, because this is the other factor too.
Mm-hmm.
When am I, and again, this is how my mind works. When am I going to smoke it?
Right.
Like if it's like I've just eaten a meal and I kind of want some dessert,
mm-hmm.
that's when I would go to something that was like a Lancaster or like a mint chocolate type.
Right.
Deal.
Sweet or semi-sweet.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, well, let's think about, would you like the effects of it to be strong or weak? And I guess when I'm talking about that, I'm not talking about the flavor, but when you smoke the tobacco, is it something that you would really like afterwards to be like, oh, man, that hit the spot?
Yeah.
Or would it be something you'd like, you know, man, I can smoke this all day long, and it's real smooth and easy on my system kind of thing?
I think definitely the man, this hit me right.
This
think a good heavy kick
this,
in it.
This dog will hunt.
What was it? It was my brother gave me a really nice cigar that I got a chance to enjoy at your shop. You remember that day?
I wish I would have recorded that.
Man, I was like, dude, I didn't even know you could get this kind of buzz from nicotine.
And then you sat out back, like, you know, waiting until you got your sea legs under you for like another 30 minutes.
Man, but you know, the great thing is,
that thing made a Christian out of you that day.
I'm telling you. No, but the great thing is, you know, right now with, or you know, great thing, I guess, maybe in quotation marks, but with kind of the lifestyle that I'm in, especially with these two young kids and with two businesses that I'm trying to work on and everything, me time is much more fewer and farther between.
Yeah.
So when I get those smokes in, I want them to count.
Yeah.
So I think definitely something that's going to not hold any punches.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. And I like that concept too. I dwell in a similar vein, so I think that'll be good to work with for me. I'll have a lot of fun with that as well. All right, when you think of the flavors, okay? So you've got you know, if we're thinking sweet or semi-sweet, all right? You've kind of got different categories of those flavors. So you've got fruit flavors, so like a, you know, apple, cherry, blackberry, peach, you know, all those different things. And then you've got kind of the, I don't exactly know what to call them, but more of, I think of them as like baking sweet flavors. So like chocolate, caramel, vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what else is out there? I've seen like amaretto.
Sure.
Or, gosh, there's just whole, you know, just a whole list of them. But that, you know, think of more like baking ingredients. Okay.
Right,
so you've got fruit, you've got baking ingredients, and then you've got things that are just kind of naturally sweet on their own, like and you know, just to describe them again in broad brushstrokes, maybe like a sweet grassy flavor, or like a hay flavor, or maybe a light citrus flavor that just kind of sneaks up on you naturally. What of those categories kind of speak to you, just as we're kicking it around?
So I think as we've been discussing it, and this has been extremely helpful, just even just sitting down and kind of thinking through the process, because early on, I actually, when I was talking about that kind of that honey, maybe floral.
Right. And again, that would the honey would kind of resonate here and in the middle category.
In the middle category.
And along with the floral too, I think.
Well, see, the thing is I started off like trying to find that on my own.
Yeah.
And it was just a disaster. Tim, then the apprentice, now the intern.
Right, right.
Was helping me along. And I mean, like, it's on me. It's not on him. But I was like, so what about this? Would that work? He's like, I don't think so. I was like, well, I'm going to try it anyway.
And then your tongue tastes like sandpaper.
Well,
for 3 days.
And you know, the thing is, like, I experimented with all kind of more of these fruitier type of flavors.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not it.
Kind of hitting your head against the wall.
I think that middle ground that you described is about where I want to be.
Yeah. Okay. And that's fair. You know, honestly, when I'm looking for sweet tobaccos, that's something I kind of graduate towards. Kind of a, you know, either you've got cocoa, caramel, kind of a nutty flavor, you know, more like honey. I wouldn't call them savory, but kind of that baking realm. You know, I always think of like food ingredients kind of in that realm. Blue Ribbon is the exception to that. I smoke a ton of Blue Ribbon, which is a Country Squire blend.
Yeah.
And that is one of the real fruit exceptions that I have, you know, during the summer months where it's just so profusely hot here in the South, that Blue Ribbon is just, man, it's so refreshing to me.
Yeah.
So,
I really like that one, although I only do it in small doses. I only actually use my,
it's
I only
very
smoke
aromatic.
That in my church warden and I only,
right.
Yeah, and the only church warden my smoking. Anyway, yeah.
That's fair. Okay, good. All right. So when you're thinking of these flavors, so we've kind of got that middle ground now going with the, you know, kind of baking type sweetness to it that's maybe, you know, a little more not on the fruit end. Do you think of more like really, really sweet? Like, do you want something that's like really, really, really sweet? Like when you open the bag, you immediately know, man, that's going to be a sweet tobacco. Like you're going to taste a whole lot of sweetness. The room is going to smell really, really sweet. Or do you want something that's maybe a little more semi-sweet, something that's more on the kind of mellow side? Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I think probably semi-sweet.
Yeah. My guess, just from kind of what you what you've kind of discussed and even what I know your preferences are, is that, you know, you're not going to want that tobacco that's kind of like a Slurpee. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to want something that's got plenty of flavor, but it's not just overly sweet. Something
right.
that, again, with a tobacco like this, that's going to be something you smoke, you know, relatively regularly, particularly if it's going to be your private blend. You know, typically people like something that has flavor, but the flavor isn't so overwhelming that they get sick of it.
Right.
Okay, so think about, like, you know, some of these really syrupy cherry tobaccos that you see. Some people smoke them every day, and they love that. You know, for me personally, if I smoke, it's kind of like eating a, you know, piece of, I don't know, apple pie every day. Do I love apple pie? Absolutely. Would I probably eat a piece of apple pie every day for a week straight?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But like, but for every day for the next like 8 months, I think I'd get a little tired of apple pie.
Yeah. It
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. You'd lose, it would lose its value.
Yeah, something about it would become less valuable. So that's kind of the direction I saw it going in as well. All right, let me ask you this. How would you feel about kind of a kick to it? And when I say kick, I mean something about, like, when you smoke it, when you the process of you smoking it, you can feel the strength kind of in your nose. And we talked about having a strong
sure.
tobacco, but not just the after effects of it, actually where you're, you know, sitting down feeling like, A lot of people refer to it as kind of a roughness to it, and I hesitate to use that term because the roughness sounds just really uninviting, but you've got some tobaccos that just naturally kind of have a little, like, it's like when you're eating spicy food and you can just kind of feel the spice and, like, it, you know, you might sweat a little bit, or, you know, your mouth might get a little watery or something.
I don't think, can you give me an example of something that has kind of that?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think, for instance, like our Pirate's Alley at the shop.
Okay.
It's something that, and I'm not sure how much you've smoked.
I've had some Pirate's Alley,
It's one of those tobaccos, you know, you smoke it, and then, matter of fact, the other day we had some Three Friars up here, which was great. But you smoke it, and it's one of those tobaccos that, like, you just, there's a little sting to it or something. Mm-hmm. Almost like a sting with a whiskey, maybe. Mm-hmm. Something like with a, you know, you drink a really nice whiskey that you like, and that first little bite on the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Or would you rather just kind of omit that?
Yeah, I think for the tobacco, I would omit that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Man, I think these are good places to start.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really do. Obviously, you want something that smells good.
Right.
Right. You want something that smells good, something that Mrs. Bo will like. So I think we can go from there. I've got a few. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, you know, the great thing is she actually, when it comes to the room note, if you will, she is good. She actually, most all pipe tobaccos, she loves the smell of.
Have I asked you this before? Does she have any younger sisters?
No, she was an only girl, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. We've gone through that.
Got some cousins, but they're all up in Grand Rapids.
But they're okay. So. Fair enough. So anyway, I've brought a few little things tonight that I want you to try, and what I'm going to ask Bo to do here is actually smell some of these things and try them over the next couple of weeks. And so as he has a chance to kind of ruminate over, you know, typically what I do is I say, well, here's some tobaccos you like. What do you like about this one? What do you like about this one? What do you like about this one? And let's kind of, you know, go through this process. Maybe take some notes if you get a chance, or just, you know, kind of keep a mental track, and then go through that. I've got some here. This is kind of a interesting Cavendish that's got a real nice kind of a little bit of cocoa. It's pretty savory. This one I think is really interesting. It's kind of a Cavendish Burley blend that's got some.
Now I'm going to hang on to him because
some fascinating notes.
I'm going into this blind because I don't want to be, you know, influenced, of course.
That's right. Smell this next one. I'm not going to tell you what that smells like. Smell it and tell me what you think it smells like. If you say raisins, I'll kill you.
I was going to say raisins. Why did you think I was going to say that?
Everyone that comes in my shop, I open any jar, and if they're not, if they don't know, they just say, "Oh, it smells like raisins."
I was going
to
say
there is no raisin flavored tobacco.
I thought raisins. I was like, but I don't want to say raisins. And then you said that.
And then I said it. I knew it. If there are any other tobacconists listening, I would love to hear. If you regularly hear people say, oh, that smells just like raisins. Because I hear that all the time.
Licorice.
That's what I got from that. Yeah. Have you ever tried Good and Plenty's, the candy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people hate them. I'm one of the...
I'm not a big licorice
kind of crazy people that like them. But that smells like a Good and Plenty to me.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting. Another one we've got here. Give that a smell. I kind of figured you'd be more in that middle range with some of these tobaccos. So I kind of picked out a few that might be there.
All right.
That's something. And then this one, too. This one, I don't know. It might be a little similar to that first one, but maybe with a little more zing to it.
I feel like the first one actually had a stronger room note between the two.
I think it probably did.
I'm going to have to smoke them.
So what I want you to do is try these tobaccos over the next, you know, couple of weeks.
I'm going to give you this one back.
Fair enough.
But
we're
going to
go ahead and exclude
three,
that one.
Yeah, okay. But these three for sure.
And we'll have some other options for you, too. And maybe what you can think of as you're smoking. And as you smoke other things, too, you know, if you happen to pull out some Meriwether or Cherokee or whatever you happen to be puffing on, you know, just let's kind of take some notes and then we'll start going from there. But, you know, I think this gives us a good idea of kind of where to start.
Where to start.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. This was fun, man.
This is so cool.
I had a great time.
I cannot wait. You know, this is the other great thing about kind of getting a chance to sit down and sample these And actually what I want to do, because I know you got them labeled, but I actually want you to scrub out what they are.
Okay.
And just like write 1, 2, or 3 or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I'm so big into branding that the name will influence me, and I don't want that to happen.
And it soon as it's there.
Exactly.
That sounds great.
But the great thing is I'll be able to, you know, we got this new dog.
We do, which we need to talk about at some point.
Yeah, well, I just want to make mention of the fact that, you know, we just adopted this new dog, Isley, and she's awesome, and she's like the perfect porch dog to like sit out and smoke your pipe.
She is so she'd be a good pipe shop dog.
She would be an amazing, you know, I'm actually,
she might sniff you and then just kind of sit next to your side.
I'm telling you, on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, I'm actually going to Cups, one of the local coffee shops, and occasionally I've seen people will bring their dog to Cups, and they'll sit down on the porch, and like the dog would just sit next to him. I'm gonna do that with my dog. This is the kind of dog you can do that with. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna bring this pipe tobacco, and I'm gonna sample this while working.
And have
on
your
some
pumpkin
stuff.
Spice latte.
I'm not gonna do that. Well, for one thing, right now with the diet, I can't do that. Anyway.
No, that's fair. No, if you drink that and call it coffee rather than a milkshake, we need to have an intervention.
No,
anyway,
there's nothing wrong with a good latte. But okay. You're right. It's you can't call it coffee.
was good. I'm glad we went through this session. We'll kind of, that gives me some ideas of kind of maybe what I'll do now as well, as while you try some of these things. I can go back to my, you know, blending room, if you will, and kind of maybe throw a few things together. And typically what we do during this stage is like, you know, I might throw a sample 1, 2, and 3 together and kind of, you know, let you try those, maybe smoke half a bowl of this and that, and then give me some feedback on that.
Yeah.
What does that look like for you? What, I like this one, but I wish it had the one element that this one has.
Absolutely.
Or something like that. So
yeah,
it'll be a lot of fun.
That sounds really good. And actually, you know, the great thing is with right now where we are with Podasteria and also just kind of the studio equipment.
Yeah.
And actually including our webcam as well. Most everything is fairly mobile. So maybe next time we do Art of Blending Part 4, we could take it either out into the shop or on the porch, one way or the other.
That'd be exciting.
And
we've been
there.
Because of our listeners' faithfulness, we've been able to, or you know, Podasteria's been able to upgrade some stuff. And
absolutely.
Now occasionally we can maybe
we
get
can
around
do something like that. Yeah,
yeah,
that would be cool.
So be fun.
I'll be thinking about that.
Stay tuned.
Absolutely. You know, we do have awesome listeners, and you know, one who we throw out a lot and make mention of him because he's been such a faithful live show participant, especially in the morning specifically, is Pappy Joe.
Man, yeah.
And Pappy
absolutely.
Joe, man, he tweeted me this this thing you found. It's a replica of Gandalf's staff with the pipe. Because, you know, in Gandalf's staff, there's a section where he can slide his churchwarden into.
Yeah, and
it.
If you haven't noticed that, Google it. I mean, you'll see photos where in Gandalf's actual pipe from the movies, if you zoom in on it, you can see his churchwarden pipe sticking into the top of the shed. It's really brilliant.
Oh, it's so
it was
cool.
Brilliant.
Well, you can buy this replica and actually
so cool.
when it comes with the pipe. So I would imagine the pipe. I didn't research enough to find out if the pipe is actually user friendly, but I would imagine it is.
I mean, come on.
I mean, yeah, it's briar. That's all you need is briar in the shape of a pipe, and you're good to go.
And it's in a freaking staff.
Hard to argue with that. But, you know, and of course, if you're not a big fan of Lord of the Rings or kind of the Tolkien world, it's probably because you've never given it a try.
Yeah.
And it's a big endeavor to sit down and read all those books, but not if they're audiobooks.
Imagine that.
Yeah, and if you head over to audibletrial.com/CSR, you can actually get one of those massive books on audio for free. audibletrial.com/CSR is the place to go for the trials.
That's right. And that helps the show out a lot too, right?
Huge and immensely so. Yeah. In fact,
it's a great way that our listeners can kind of help support what we're doing here.
Big time, you know, just, and it doesn't cost you a dime. If you want to go in, you start up that trial, it helps support the show. And if you want to cancel before, you know, the trial is over, never spend a dime.
Absolutely.
You get to keep your free audiobook. It still helps out the show. It is a win-win scenario.
Win-win-win.
Yeah. So check that out. Do it today.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by CHEV.
Pipe question of the week.
Hey, this is a great question. I'm excited about
this. We've got a wonderful pipe question in today. This actually comes from Twitter at Hochter the Love Doctor. Now, we've mentioned Hochter before. He writes in, Bradley is his name. He says, some blends can be high in nicotine. What is your advice for avoiding the nicotine overload? And he used the hashtag pipe question of the week, which I think is a brilliant idea.
I think that's great.
It's a long hashtag, but it's good.
Bradley, at all costs, avoid Dunhill Royal Yacht.
Really?
Like, just go ahead and cross that out of your repertoire. Like, you don't need to look at it, you don't need to smell it, you don't need to even think about purchasing it unless you're gonna, you know, line your hamster cage with it or something. Because that stuff will make your head swim. It is so funny. You know our mutual friend Richard B. here in Jackson.
Oh yeah, yeah,
who,
yeah.
Who goes by a crazy nickname.
I know who you're talking about.
I probably won't mention on the show.
I don't think
show.
You should.
But anyway, just an out of control individual. Friend of the shop, every time he comes in, it's a big, lively thing. Takes a lot of pride in constantly having a dip in his mouth and cigarettes handy and a pipe at the ready at any given time. Matter of fact, he bought a beautiful Davern the other day with this stag antler on it, a Morta pipe. But that's a perfect Richard pipe. Like,
and
that's
Davern,
something he would buy.
Davern, I made fun of him once because he's kind of a big guy, and he was right. He was smoking a really like skinny pipe, and I was
right.
Like, big man with a little pipe.
Right.
And
then he bought a Davern.
Well, and so then he got a Davern. I think it's probably to compensate for that joke I made.
And if you don't
so
know what a Davern
ago.
Looks like, go to the Squire's website.
It's like
you can see a few that we have that, like, the one that he has looks like a golf driver, like something
that's
you'd
awesome.
Hit. Like, it looks like it's similar to like a 3-wood or something. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, Richard uses a lot of tobacco. He smoked half a bowl of Dunhill Royal Yacht and couldn't drive.
Ah!
And it made me so happy. He couldn't drive, and he was like, man, I think I need to go next door to the coffee shop and get a Danish. It was great.
Y'all
but anyway,
do a lot of business for that coffee shop.
I just say that. Avoid that particular tobacco. Okay, a couple things. So Perique, obviously, it's a fermented tobacco. It has a whole lot of nicotine in it just from the process that it goes through. Any kind of burley has that too. And so burley obviously, isn't fermented, but it's just kind of have a heavier nicotine component to it.
Yeah.
I also, for me, tend to have a stronger kind of reaction to those type of things when it comes to, really light colored leaves on my Virginias, as opposed to like a darker, kind of bolder Virginia, something that maybe was more towards the bottom of the plant or something. So those are things to keep in mind. If I were you, obviously you have to try several things, but if anything you know of is high in burley content or certainly perique content, if you're very sensitive to nicotine, I'd probably avoid those things. Yeah. Now, burley's lurking everywhere, okay? You're the chance of something you smoke not having burley at any given time is, burley's all over the place. So, it's those blends that really feature burley that you kind of need to watch out for. You can smoke perique by all means. Perique is great. Gosh, I love perique. But, it kind of be like, you need to treat it like going to the Thai restaurant and getting no worse than like a medium,
Okay.
But, have you got like mild, medium, hot, Thai hot, and then ridiculous? Like don't go above the mild to medium.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, some of those blends like the, Bayou Morning and Three Friars and some of these things that have really heavy perique content, Pirate's Alley at our shop, avoid those. Perique can be used as a nice condiment, but don't use it over the top. Latakia blends, funny enough, are not particularly heavy. Latakia itself is not particularly heavy in nicotine, just because a lot of it's been burned out of it kind of over time. So Latakia blends are great. Aromatics, you see a lot of burleys kind of floating around in there, so just be careful. But those are just some tips.
That's a great pipe question of the week from Bradley. And if you've got a pipe question of the week, you can tweet it into us, Facebook it, or you can email us at csr@potastery.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
I always love getting quick fire questions in from you guys. This actually series comes in from Ashley Smith.
Yeah.
He writes and says, hello once again to the Country Squire team. I thought I might contribute a few quick fire questions. Congratulations to Bo and his wife on the birth of their new daughter.
Ow!
Yeah. Thank you very much, Ashley. All right, here we go. Oh, these are going to be good.
Gosh, these are like, man, these put you in all kinds of difficult situations here.
Lord of the Rings versus Star Wars.
Man.
And I think that's actually the theme overall.
Yeah.
All right, you ready for this?
All right, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. An Astari wizard or a Jedi knight?
Actually, not familiar with an Astari wizard, so I'll have to go with Jedi knight. What's an Astari wizard?
So isn't that basically what Gandalf is, or the kind of the second tier?
Like the second tier, like not the white when he was the gray. I'm not sure, so I'll go with Jedi by default.
I'm gonna go with Jedi as well. I love Lord of the Rings, but I'm gonna probably end up on Star Wars on a couple of these. Next one, lightsaber. Or Glamdring Bowhammer.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with lightsaber on that. That was actually part of the reason I wanted to go with Jedi, because I've always wanted a lightsaber. You actually have one.
I do have a lightsaber, but I've always wanted the Bowhammer. I have to admit, like when I was looking at, I've wanted to get some sort of like custom made sword in here at some point. And actually, I talked to our friend David Delagardelle.
Who is a swordsmith.
He is a swordsmith.
What do you do for a living? Oh, I just make swords.
he's incredible, and does amazing work that is way outside of my budget.
We need to have him on the show again sometime soon.
We do. We need to check back in with him. Mm-hmm. And so when I was like, well, maybe a custom sword is not going to be in the picture right now. And I think, well, if I was to have a custom weapon, what would it be?
Yeah.
Or not a custom weapon, but if I was to have a weapon from some sort of great production of some sort or some replica, what would it be? And I went kind of back and forth between Luke's lightsaber and kind of Gandalf's Fauxhammer.
Yeah.
And I was leaning on Fauxhammer, and then I got the opportunity to get Luke's lightsaber. But now that I actually have that, gonna go with Fauxhammer.
You're gonna go with Fauxhammer. You get to complete the collection.
Yeah, I mean, well, part of that too is the lightsaber, while awesome, is very difficult to like showcase.
Right.
Because, you know, it's a lightsaber, and if it's not turned on, then it's just a big white pole sticking out of it. So there you go.
Fair enough.
Gandalf's pipe or Jabba's hookah?
All right, and I like the thing. Note, the hookah has been cleaned and reconditioned. That's a part of the question. Because you know Jabba's got to be pretty funky, huh?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'd have to go with Gandalf's pipe. I'd rather be with Gandalf's pipe.
All the way.
Although, smoking Jabba's hookah occasionally would be great as long as it were a little sanitized.
Well, and part of that, I think the only time that I've ever smoked a hookah was at, I can't remember if it was my birthday or if it was at Yorktoberfest.
Yeah.
But somebody brought a hookah. And it was I really enjoyed it, but no, come on, pipe. Gandalf's pipe.
Yep.
Gandalf's pipe is like the pipe.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So
I'm with him.
Gotta go that route all the way. Do battle against a Rancor or Shelob?
Okay.
Do I need to explain what these are?
Yeah, you do. The names are familiar, but I can't place which one
okay.
is what.
So Rancor, remember Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Luke comes in, like at this point, Leia is in the golden bikini, which I know left a...
That's really all I remember.
I mean, At our age when we saw that.
Oh, that thing when he falls in the pit.
Falls in the pit.
That's got the big ugly teeth and he crushes with the gate thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the Rancor.
That's the Rancor.
Okay.
Now, Shelob is actually the spider, the giant spider that Sam battles. And I think it's at the end of Two Towers, although in the movies they put it at the beginning of Return of the King.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, so which one would I rather fight?
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess what that means is which one do I think I'd have a better shot living after I fought?
That's a good way to think of it.
I would probably, I'd probably have to go with the Rancor. I think even though he's like 8 times taller than me, I could maybe figure out some way to, you know, dispose of him.
Yeah.
With Shelob, that's too many things going on.
He's
got a little tentacle things and like, you know, the spider web and they're running around like in a cave or like in these tunnels. And I'm going to have to go with the Rancor.
I mean, and it's difficult because you don't know what you're equipped with, right? I'm going to have to go along with you because if we go based off of what our understanding or you know, what we've seen from both monsters,
right,
both on film and obviously in novels, Rancor was pretty slow, all things considered.
Yeah.
And I mean, part of that was it was a stop motion animation, but I mean, that's what the character in our minds has to be based off of. So we've got to assume that he's big, he's menacing, he's ugly, but he's relatively slow, whereas spiders are quick.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out, have several different limbs that you've got to try to manage. So I'm going to say Rancor as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't like spiders.
I mean, if it's me versus a regular spider, then I'll take the regular spider.
That's true.
Well, great questions. That's good. Well, I'm going to go ahead and ask it anyway. Lord of the Rings versus Star Wars overall.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to do that. This is very difficult for me to say, but I'm going to go with Star Wars.
Got
to
be Star Wars. I love Lord of the Rings.
I'm going to go with Star Wars. Yeah. I mean, I know, you know, the Lord of the Rings and all the Tolkien stuff has been so prolifically, you know, just a big shot in the arm to the pipe community. And obviously, I love Tolkien and love Tolkien's works. I love what Tolkien believed and what he was kind of getting at with his imagery and all that stuff. But, man, Star Wars was, and even though the Lord of the Rings series was a part of my childhood, man, Star Wars consumed so much of my childhood.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was just such a front and center thing for me. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I've watched those, you know, those old movies. Man, I just got to go with Star Wars.
And the other thing you got to think about, too, aside from just the kind of the cultural phenomenon that persists because of Star Wars,
yeah,
we now have a day dedicated to Star Wars that is fastly becoming recognized almost as a national holiday.
May the 4th be with you.
Yeah, and then, of course, also, if you don't partake of the light side and perhaps go a little bit more dark, you do have Revenge of the Fifth right after.
You do? Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's kind of become a more recent thing that has popped up from time to time.
I thought Revenge of the Fifth was what people said after Cinco de Mayo, with those tequila shots. You wake up on the sixth, and you're like, I'm feeling like the fifth is getting after me a little
bit. And see this once. That's good.
I did one recently.
Well, you did
a tequila shot.
Oh yeah,
it wasn't pretty.
I have not touched tequila heavily since the honeymoon when I was in the swim-up pool bar,
right,
and had way too many when I hadn't had no concept of gravity,
right.
It's a long night.
Yeah, typically nights including that doesn't end well.
It's not good. Anyway. But yeah, all that to say, yeah, Star Wars, it was, as much as I do love Lord of the Rings, Lord of the Rings is like a wonderful, amazing, just ever-expansing painting that I love to sit back and enjoy from every single level, be it the books, the films, or just kind of, you know, the art that is inspired by it.
Yeah.
Star Wars is a way of life. And that's what I'll say about that. All right. Well, these are great, great questions, Ashley. Thank you so much for sending those in. And also thank you for the shout out for the birth of our new girl.
Yes.
And thank you, of course, for listening. If you've got some questions, quick fire or otherwise, to send in to us, do so, csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts? Your comments. Listener feedback.
A couple of real-time listener feedbacks.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah, we've actually got our friend at Reborn Pipes, who you can follow on Twitter, a good friend of the show. He says, you know, there are those of us who actually love Royal Yacht, the tobacco we talked about earlier that, you know, if you don't have a full stomach when you smoke it, you will regret because it's just really strong. He says, strong, some licorice taste to it that I like. I'm kind of in that same boat, Reborn, because I like it. I mean, it's something that I enjoy, but it's going to be one of those, like, smoke about a third to half a bowl of and then call it a day kind of thing, you know, because I want to be able to get home afterwards.
Yeah.
He also says he wonders how timeless Star Wars will be. Just a question, because the Lord of the Rings trilogy has shown its longevity.
Yes, but also not necessarily. I mean, Lord of the Rings persists in a similar way, actually, that Star Wars has, where everything that Tolkien has done has influenced so much heavily, you know, a lot of fantasy writing.
Right.
But if you look at kind of what Star Wars is and represents, it's kind of the perfect story structure, especially in the original. That is what everybody references. If you know, when they're trying to retell the perfect story, they're going back to the time that it was told in the best way possible.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and also if not for the movies, Lord of the Rings would still persist as a subculture.
Yeah.
Star Wars is kind of still persisted as a main culture. You know, like television, even before the prequels.
I think you're gonna get hate mail.
I might, but what I'm saying is, and understand, I mean, I love both. So, I mean, it's not like I'm...
This is not an either-or thing.
Not at all.
We were put in a bad spot.
No. But you know, if you think about kind of who's creating, you know, movies, television, even novels, books, a lot of them kind of more broadly look at Star Wars as an influencer. Whereas, if not for the resurgence because of the films, you would have had Lord of the Rings still existing in a subculture that you and I would have both been part of because we read, you know, The Hobbit or the full trilogy even prior to the movies really getting kind of into prominence. But you know. So I mean I think it definitely has longevity, but I don't know. We might have to put that out to Facebook and let the debate continue.
What I do need to say is one of our listeners in particular that's watching live is already cursing me because I said Star Wars. We'll leave it at that.
All right, there you go.
I'm telling you, people feel strongly about this stuff. It's really difficult. What are you looking for?
I was looking for my X-Wing.
Your X-Wing?
It's behind the camera. I can't
believe
it.
That's all right.
All right, man. Well, great live listener feedback. Let's go ahead and read some that we've sent in as well. Do you want to get that first one for us?
Yeah.
Which is from Nathan from Nate from Michigan wrote that in as an email.
Yeah, that's great. He says, Bo and John David, I wanted to say first off that I love the show and tune in every week. I know you recently spoke briefly about IPAs and stouts. I'm something of a beer nerd and a history nerd and wanted to share, we have a lot in common, wanted to share something most people aren't aware of. Since IPA stands for India Pale Ale, most people believe it was the most shipped beer to India when the UK ruled over India. He's, of course, referring to when, you know, India was part of the British Empire and they would ship it over there because of, you know, the longevity of it or whatever. While IPA was widely shipped to India, with its high alcohol content and hop levels preserving it, stouts were actually more widely exported to India in terms of the number of barrels. Okay.
Interesting.
So our friend Nate's saying there were actually, in terms of volume, there was more stout going to India than IPAs. He can't remember the exact place that he read that, but he says he thought it was an interesting fact. I can't imagine drinking a stout in 100-degree heat before refrigeration.
Goodness.
Lord have mercy. Keep up the good work. Nate from Michigan, who's from Metro Detroit. Nate, thanks so much for bringing that up, man. Yeah. I mean, I just figured, you know, with the hoppiness and alcohol content of the IPA, India Pale Ale, you know, that was, you know, obviously would be the most popular thing kind of shipped over in that direction. But, man, could you imagine drinking a warm lager or a warm stout in a subtropical climate?
I can't do it, man. More power to those who can, but
that's just gross.
Okay, it's not my cup of tea or my pint of beer. Hey, but that's great. I love getting the shout outs from Michigan. I'll actually be up in Grand Rapids in the coming months. We actually just booked our flight.
That's great.
In September. So more on that as we get closer. We also got on iTunes from C. Morgan Norris, who writes in and says, a nice draw with some beautiful grain. The only thing that could make this better is if there was more of it. I listened to this on my way to work all day at work and on my way home from work.
Man.
So basically, if you guys could make this about 7 hours worth of content per day, then that would be great. I'm just busy. Seriously. This is one of the most soothing, inspiring things to listen to in between bowls. A real cool smoke with a wonderful room note. So, man, that is great. I love that kind of feedback.
C. Morgan Norris, that is awesome. You know, it really, we talk about this a lot. I think the reason we talk about it a lot is because it constantly kind of it is just incredible to us. But y'all have honored us by letting us be a part of your lives.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it very much. We do. And occasionally, you even smoke our tobacco, which is just be just awesome.
That's always fun as well. I can't wait to listen to us while smoking the Yorkers.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Of course,
which we have to name at some point too. But
that's
gonna come down the road. I always insist that the name comes last.
I think that's smart.
It's very important.
That's
to me.
Smart.
Okay.
Of course, hey, you know, we do broadcast this show live every single Monday at 7:30 p.m. That's Central Time. Also 5:30 Pacific. 8:30 p.m. Eastern. So hey, if you've not given us a chance to listen in live, this would be a great coming week to do so. We actually, I think we'll have a special guest. We haven't worked out all the details yet, but we talked about having Brian over from Pipes Magazine.
That's right,
and possibly doing that next week. And I probably shouldn't say that because literally we had the Twitter exchange while I'm recording this. So, but one way or the other, he'll be coming on and bringing his expertise in Disney pipe tobacco and pipes specifically. You know, a couple of weeks ago we did our Dichotomy of Disney where we talked about the appearance of pipe smoking and kind of just tobacco use in general in the films and especially kind of in the animated specifically.
Yeah.
Brian is a real big buff when it comes to the actual products that Disney has sold.
Yeah.
And so we're looking forward to having him on as an expert.
And obviously Brian just, you know, being a great fixture in the, you know, modern pipe community and America. So great friend of the show. We'd love to have him on real soon. Yep.
So possibly next week, if not, then very soon. But stay tuned for that. Of course, you can keep up with us throughout the week. Following us on Twitter is a great way to do it. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole. And you can get us at the shop at underscore Country Squire.
And you can follow the show as well. And of course, engage with us during live shows by following at Squire Radio. All of this and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, man, this is not a bad scenario tonight. You've got a wonderful homework assignment.
I do.
So you typically, when we're all said and done, I'm the one with all the homework, but you actually have a homework assignment.
Well, you have homework, too. It's sitting right there in front of your computer.
Yeah, oh, man, this is going to be so
tough. But that's not really, I know, that's so difficult. Oh, teacher, make it go away.
Yeah.
We get to, am I exempt from this exam?
Not only do I get a couple of different
can this be my exam tonight, this Bluff City Blonde?
I was about to say, man, we got free beer out of this, too.
Man, if you don't know where Natchez, Mississippi is, or even what Natchez, Mississippi is, just Google it.
Just Google
it. Natchez is a special place.
That's good. That's good. Well, hey, JD, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.